What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray, and we're talking about generational wealth, mental health, finance, and business. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate. And before we introduce today's guest, my brother Eric from Huntsville, Alabama, who do you have for our Black Men Sunday Spotlight, my brother?
Hey, thank you for the introduction, Corey. Hey, today's spotlight, I'm going to circle on a guy. His name is Otis Borkin. He's an inventor. So I'm going to tell you some of the things he's responsible for inventing. Now, Otis Borkin was an African-American inventor and engineer. His inventions include the electronic resistors that we use, and also using computers, the components we're using that, missile guidance, and also infamous for the pacemaker. Now, the thing about Otis, he has over 126 devices and patents that he's best known for. And like I said, he's inventing multiple different electronic control devices, like I mentioned before, guided missiles, IBM computers, and the pacemaker. Now, one of his early inventions was an improved wire resistor, which had reduce inductance and resistance due to the physical arrangement of the wire. Now, other notable inventions include a variable resistor used in guided missiles. His most famous inventions was likely a control unit for the artificial cardiac pacemaker. Now, what happened, he was, I think, about 1 or 2 years old. His mother died from a heart attack, so that kind of inspired him to come up with some kind of device that could help stimulate the electronic rhythm for the pacemaker. And among these other inventions is a burglar-proof cash register, too. That's my spotlight for today. Now back to you, Corey.
Man, I'm telling you, man, it's not February. We do this every Sunday, Black Men Sundays, man. Those spotlights, man, you've been rocking. I'm still waiting for you to come back with the spotlight where you kick some poetry, because I still listen to that show. I'm like, man, I would love to hear Eric do some poetry at least once a month, man.
Okay, well, I can do that. That can be arranged.
Gotcha. My brother Eric, man, Black Men Sunday Spotlight, the suburbs of Nashville, aka Nash Vegas. I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, let's go and introduce today's guest. This brother here, we're talking to John Javier. This brother is alum to Black Men Sunday. I'm not going to say alumni, because alumni is plural. We got to stop saying alumni when we're talking about one person. Really, it's alumnus, but you know, alum sounds better than alumnus. So John Javier, this brother's a lending market leader with Bank of America, Central Florida. He's been helping people with mortgages over 20 years. He's come on Black Men Sundays a year ago. And one thing I listen to when our guests come on the show, they say, I wish you would invite me back. So guess what? John Javier, he's back. Welcome back to Black Men Sundays, brother. How you doing?
I'm very good. Super happy to be here. It's Sunday, man. So it's better to be here talking about the things that it's a passion for all of us. So looking forward for a deeper review of the things that we got to share with you guys.
Definitely, man. You know what? Let's just jump right in. So we're talking about Central Florida. A lot of people think of Central Florida. They think of Orlando. They think of Kissimmee. They think of the parks. But I was doing some research today, and I saw Orlando adds over 1,000 new residents per week, 55,000 new residents annually. We're the second fastest growing region after Austin, Texas. Fastest in Florida. I was like, wow, I thought, you know, and then behind us is Port St. Lucie, Florida. So let's jump right in, because for people that live out of town, whether they're snowbirds, whether they're trying to live here full time, they want to come into Orlando. So let's talk about the factors affecting the housing market in Central Florida, because people that live here say, you know, I moved here 20 years ago. I'm retired now. My 401k is not enough. My pension's not enough. I'm going to have to sell my house, get out of Florida, because the insurance and just the price of the house is too much. Let's jump right in. Let's go.
So, Corey, we got to think about all the things that home ownership brings, right? So before we get to that stage that you were describing, the first thing that I think on a daily basis, what actually brings me out of my home on a daily basis is how I can drive home ownership. Because the if we think about what's going to be beside home ownership, you can actually rent an apartment. And that is okay too. Don't get me wrong. So many people come here to Orlando because they might be here as a vacation time, a couple weeks. They come to the theme parks and they see the beauty of Orlando. They see how amazing everything is, and they just made that decision. I want to move to Orlando. I want to live there. And maybe they are going to jump into this transition time, which is going to be the first 2 years, maybe the first 4 years, and they're going to be leasing an apartment. And that's perfectly fine. Not everybody has the wealth to actually come on over, buy a property in cash, and be a homeowner from the get-go. So we got to understand what it takes to actually relocate to another city like Orlando, and what the process is going to take them to actually lease on the property. Now, understand what's happening with the lease, the demand there is for lease apartments. It's so high that the prices of a monthly payment on lease is completely out of touch. It's when I'm thinking about when I moved to Orlando 10 years ago, the lease apartment that I got, we actually got a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom, I don't know, maybe 1,100 feet square foot. And maybe the payment was around $1,300, $1,400. My wife can tell you better than me. But now, if you are lucky to find a 3-bedroom condo below $2,200 a month, you are lucky. And not everybody can afford a $2,200 a month on a lease apartment. Now, think about the other aspect that you are exposed when you are leasing an apartment. The who controls the monthly payment is actually the company, normally are like nationwide companies, and they are increasing your monthly payment every year after year. So you don't have this stability that actually allows you to grow financially because you don't know what the monthly payment is going to be next year. Maybe from $2,200, they are going to increase it to $2,400. And now you are tied up. How more tied up you can be? So it's a very difficult situation. But again, it is about let's go through the process. But we got to think about how I'm going to get all the people in our communities to become a homeowner as fast as they can. It could be those 2 years, 4 years, but we got to keep that conversation open. How I can make you a homeowner, and it is doable. We just need to get the education out there.
Gotcha. And what about, you know, I call them the snowbirds, you know, they come down for the good weather, you know, when it's hurricane season, they out of here quick. But let's talk about, you know, from their perspective of home ownership, living here, a lot of them are retired, you know, they're living off the pension, their 401ks and whatever investments they had. Because the market here, you know, when I compare Orlando to other housing markets, like the prices are really high here, but they're high everywhere. So what challenges can those buyers face, but also buyers that want to move here that aren't retired snowbirds? So I'm giving you like a two-parter at the same time. But what challenges will buyers face? Because I would hate for them to come here and they're like, oh, Corey, you didn't tell me that.
So we got to think about all the expenses related to homeownership, and it's a reality. Expenses are going to be there. You are, as a homeowner, you are in charge of the property. You got property taxes. You got property insurance. In many cases, you do have a homeowner association. So when you stack all them up, you're gonna find out what your total expenses or your total monthly expenses are going to be. Now, that's still going to be better than leasing an apartment. And even if you are the snowbird that is going to spend 6 months here during winter and maybe early spring, and then you're going to go back north, that expenses are going to still hit you, even when you're not living in the property. Once you go back north, your expenses are going to keep coming every single month. And those property taxes, property insurance, homeowner association, they are going to stay there. Now, once you become a homeowner, there is the county will provide you with a protection from increasing those property taxes with a cap amount. And depending on the county, it could be 3%, it could be 4%, it could be 2%. But only when you declare that property as your primary home, county is going to put that protection in and you those increases are not gonna go over that max amount. Now, if the property is labeled as a second home or an investment property, like when you are renting the property Airbnb or to any other long-term rentals, there are no caps. So if the county wants to increase the property taxes by 10%, 15%, 20%, they can do it and they will do it, and you don't have any protection against that.
Man, I wish I spoke to you like a couple weeks ago because I saw my mine went up. I was like, what? My wife called me at work. These taxes are, I'm like, how much? I'm like, oh. So, and that's one thing that, as a photographer working, at the news, but, I had the luxury of covering a lot of, home insurance issues, roofing issues, just home issues in general. And you hear a lot of retirees saying, I'm going to have to move out of Florida. I really can't afford this anymore. I set my insurance, I set everything up. So when I retired, my 401k, my pension, my investments, I have the money, but the prices are just keep going up, whether it's the rate, whether it's the home insurance, whether it's the insurance. So for people moving into Florida, though, how do you, I guess, how do you like be honest with them about this is what you're walking into, and then you got hurricane season on top of all of that.
That's right. And that's the key why the property insurance keeps going up. You remember just a short time ago, we got three hurricanes hitting us coming from the west through Orlando, through Central Florida in a matter of 60 days. So of course, we are exposed. We are on the highway of hurricanes. They are going to keep on happening. So we got to deal with it. Now, when we go through shopping for a property insurance, that's the biggest key is shop around. There are so many companies out there. We just got to do the due diligence. We got to go and ask for quotes, and we need to compare. There are many, many opportunities out there, and there are nationwide companies, and they are regional insurance companies, and they all provide different types of benefits. So if you want to go with less benefits, but at least to cover the mortgage and the basics to actually have a mortgage approval, that's a way to go. If you want more coverage, more benefits, and things extra, there's where the more expensive insurance are going to show up. Now, it is a real thing. The homeowner insurance is actually getting out of control. And that's when the state got involved and the state created Citizens Insurance. So basically, Citizens is like an insurance company, but it's actually created by the state to actually keep those costs down. And it's not a permanent thing. There is going to be like a graduation period. Once you get into Citizens, there might be like a couple of years, maybe 3, 4 years, that you will enjoy the benefits, and eventually they will transfer you to another regular insurance company. And when they do that, you are supposed to stay with the same expenses level. But that's the way that it goes. That's how they created it.
I've done I would say probably like a couple hundred stories with Citizens Insurance. They're their insurance really for the uninsured. But the problem with Citizens, they had so many people filing claims or joining them that they couldn't afford to do that. So Citizens, at some point, they're leaving Florida. But let's jump back in, man. I'm just glad we're having this real conversation because when people think of Central Florida, they think of the parks. They don't really think of these conversations. So the last time I had you on the show, we were talking about, where the Central Florida markets stood. That was last year. So where does the market stand this year in 2025?
What I have observed is that today is a better market for buyers, and this is the reason why. If you look at the properties that are going on sale today, they are not selling as quick as they were selling a year ago, 2 years ago. So there was something unique going on in the market where you will put a property on the market, and in less than a week, you will get 15, 20 people trying to buy the property. And the seller was just laying back and waiting for the best one to show up. And they will sell that property like within days. What's happening today is if you put a property on the market, it's not selling that quick. And the main reason why is there are not that many cash investors coming in town. the best thing that can happen to normal people, members of the community like us, is to actually allow the market to actually behave in a way that only people, normal people, real homeowners who are going to use the property as primary homes can compete for the price and see who's going to be the better. To the point that actually now as a buyer can actually be asking the seller, like, what are you going to do to convince me to buy your home? And that's the real buyer's market, because the properties are not selling that quick. Now the buyer can go back to the seller, convince me. What are you going to give me? So maybe a lower price, maybe a seller concession and help the buyer on the closing cost, maybe include the fridge, include the stove, and other things that they can trade off on that negotiation. But the truth is, it is a better market today. And even though when prices are still high, because the average sales price of the property is still very close to the $370,000, $380,000, that's basically the average sales price today. Compared to some time ago, the sales price of the property was closer to $400,000. Still up there. It's not a big change. It's a high price, but it is going to be a better market today for buyers to negotiate and find the best property available.
Great information, man. Wow, you're tearing the show up, and I'm loving this. So let's keep it going, man. You know, the last time we had you on Black Men Sundays, you talked about Bank of America's powerful digital tools with home loan options. But what bank resources are you guys utilizing in 2025 to help home buyers?
Absolutely. So we got so many tools, and everything is available through the bankofamerica.com page. So the first thing that I got to tell you about is going to be education. We do have Better Money Habits, where actually our clients and anybody can actually go in there. It's actually public information. You don't have to be a client to actually access this education. And on Better Money Habits, they are going to teach you everything that you need to know about anything financially speaking. It could be savings, it could be credit, it could be how to buy a home, it could be what do you need to trade up when you're buying a home. So Better Money Habits, that's one of the best tools that we have available. The second option, or the second tool that we have available online, is when our clients apply for the mortgage transaction, they are going to get in the system that is called the Home Loan Navigator. A Home Loan Navigator is a system that actually gets you complete transparency to the process, where you can actually see everything that you need to know about your loan. You can complete the application there. You can complete the application along with one of our loan officers who are sitting in our financial centers and give you that handshake and face-to-face interaction. The transparency of the process, where you can actually upload documents, you can download documents. Once the appraisal is in, you can actually download it. You can see the progress of your transaction. You can see what other conditions are missing. So it's an amazing tool, and we get everybody through it. The third tool that we have available is the Real Estate Center. Real Estate Center is actually a search engine, a Bank of America-owned search engine, where you can actually enter the data of the properties that you're looking for. So let's say, for example, Corey wants to buy a property of $350,000 in the zip code 32832. You enter those details in the Real Estate Center, and our search engine is going to keep you posted. It's going to show you whatever is available, but it's going to give you updates of the new properties that are coming in the market with those descriptions based on the size, based on the price, based on the zip code. And even better than that is that will tell you which properties and which zip codes are eligible or most likely eligible to be recipients of the grants that we are giving away. So as I mentioned before, we have two grants available now, the down payment grant and the closing cost grant. Both of them are available depending on geographic location, and there are also income limits, but the system will tell you, yes, this property might be eligible for the grant, get more information from our credit solution advisors, which are the loan officers inside the financial center. So that's another amazing tool, and we encourage every single client who is just thinking about becoming a homeowner, it could be now or in 2 years, we are encouraging everybody to sign up for the Real Estate Center so they can start looking at the properties and what's actually happening out there. You can see the trends in your neighborhood. You can see who is selling for what. You can see which properties are coming up. It's a great tool. I encourage every one of you to actually roll up.
But let's talk real quick about entrepreneurs, man. You know, this is Orlando. People come in here. A lot of people, you know, said, okay, I quit my job. I got five properties here. Now with the insurance and the fixer-uppers and all this going on, I have people in some of these houses, but some of these houses, I don't have a resident because they don't want to pay the 25 plus to rent my 3,000 square foot house, but I have five of them. So what can we say to the entrepreneurs? Because from what I'm hearing from you, this is more of a buyer's market than a seller's market now in 2025. Let's talk about that.
So when you are a business owner, the first thing that we need to do is get you in contact with one of our credit solution advisors. My team of credit solution advisors spread across the market, they are the best advisors to actually sit down with you as a business owner to review your financials. So think about this. As a business owner, you got to have in line your tax returns of the last 2 years. And what we're going to be looking at is, what about the net income that you are showing on your tax returns? And there are a few things in the list of expenses that we can actually add as income. There are a couple of things there, depreciation and depletion. But the best way that we can actually have that conversation and set the right expectations on what we need to do to get you to homeownership, or maybe you are already ready to actually move into homeownership, we need to spend the time with the credit solution advisors. We got to take a look at the tax returns of the last 2 years, and we got to take a look at what's happening in this year, 2025, so that way we can see your profit and loss statement. We can take a look at your balance sheet, and then we can tell you how eligible you are and for how much are you eligible. But the truth is, regardless if you are a salary employee with W-2 forms and pay stubs, or you are a business owner, professional, you can be a doctor, you can be a shop owner, whatever it is, we do have the special product to actually help you in homeownership. There are so many tools that we can apply. It could be the affordable loan solution. Affordable loan solution, regardless if you are a salary employee or a business owner, will allow you to finance up to 97% of the sales price of the property. If on top of that, we give you the grants for closing costs up to $7,500 and the down payment grant up to $10,000, that's actually going to cover 3% of that sales price of the property, you can actually buy the home without putting nothing down. And again, regardless of what do you do for a living. So if you are a doctor, in the case of professional doctors, there is a specialty product that actually allows you as a doctor to buy a home without the employment history, just using your school history. So if you just graduated and you're going to start working at Orlando Health or at Advent Health, and that job is going to start in a month, we can still do the loan today because we can actually track that future employment and the unemployment history. So there are so many, many tools, Corey. Talking about FHA loans, VA loans for all the veterans out there, the options are many. And we just got to spend the time with our advisors so that way we can provide the right coaching and we can get everybody into homeownership as quickly as possible.
Oh, man, that's you just dropped a gem right there, man. And, you know, you use the doctor because, you know, we are in Orlando. This is, you know, we talk about medical technologies all over Orlando. But does that stand the same for if I'm a lawyer, if I'm in other areas? Because that's pretty interesting. Like if I'm an entrepreneur and I have six homes, but I'm a lawyer as well, then they can still take advantage of that. Wow, man. Yeah, you dropped a great gem on me right there.
Now, all of these specialty loans are basically striving to deliver primary home transactions and bring home ownership. When you mentioned more than one, six properties as an investment property, there is no, we are still going to deliver the financing. But that type of unique thing that we are doing with doctors, that's specifically for medical doctors. All the other type of transactions we help and we support, and of course, there's a lot of opportunities for people like owning properties and renting properties out there. There are still a lot of opportunities for them too.
Thank you for that, because you know, when I was taking that, I was taking it as you were using it as an example, not realizing that's what it was. So thanks for clearing that up, because if I didn't clear it up, I would have got a few emails. Well, I'm a lawyer, or I do this. So thanks for clearing that up. And is there anything new in 2025 with Bank of America? I mean, obviously, you know, with Black Men Sundays, you know, we have relationships with all the major banks. They've all come on the show. But, you know, for people that are saying, okay, well, I have an account elsewhere, I'm looking to buy my home elsewhere, why Bank of America over the competition?
Absolutely. There's a lot going on at Bank of America. So I think that one of the biggest thing that we offer into the community is going to be that local presence. It's like whenever you have these looking for the interaction, if you want to go virtually and apply online, we have it available. If you want to shake a hand, you want to see somebody face to face, you want to have a conversation, maybe as a Hispanic, a Spanish speaker, and you want to have that conversation in your mother language, we do have the staff in our financial centers who are going to be able to actually have that conversation in Spanish too. So there is a great mix and balance between the power that Bank of America can bring into our local communities, but also the local neighborhood relationship with the people that we have inside the financial centers opening the doors on a daily basis. If we think about what Bank of America has been able to do, we bring so much to our non-profit organizations. And there is so much, Corey, that is discussed at the leadership level that is all about how much we can give into the community with nonprofit organizations, Habitat for Humanity, Second Harvest, the support that Bank of America can provide with our resources to all of these nonprofit organizations has been there for years, and it's going to continue on a daily basis. And you got to talk to somebody like Second Harvest, Habitat for Humanity, and all these other organizations, they will attest how much Bank of America does. And beside what all the things that we give to the community is the other side that I was mentioning, having that local banker or loan officer, credit solution advisor, they are able to shake a hand and actually guide our community through homeownership. Beside all the things about mortgages, our platform on banking is outstanding. We got the best products on checking accounts, savings accounts, CDs, credit cards. And inside the financial center, there are not just bankers. We have a staff of bankers ready to take care on all of these foundational banking things. But we also have other specialists inside the financial center. Beside my team of credit solution advisors, we have business solution advisors. These are the experts who actually lead the business owners on everything that they need. And we have a third specialist in the financial center, which is the financial solution advisor. Financial solution advisors lead the way on all the investments and guidance regarding retirement, 401ks, and opening college accounts, college funds accounts inside the financial center. So what Bank of America brings to the table is the expertise and having everybody in just one place. You walk into Bank of America Financial Center, you will get the specialty people in there able to help you with anything that you need and with the technology to actually support you if you need to do transactions virtually.
Let's talk about, you know, it's 2025, man. You know, last time we spoke to you, it was a lot of, you know, people buying newly built homes. What about homes that are being built now? Is that a smart investment with, With the president's tariffs and things of that to make prices higher, is a new build, not new build already built, but in the process of being built, where you may need wood or you may need products for that home. Is that a good or a bad move in 2025 based on the tariffs?
Corey, the decision of where are you going to buy, if it is an existing home or a new construction, it will depend on your needs. Every single client is a different one. You might need a property, a home that is actually close to the school where your daughter is attending now, or maybe the school that you want your daughter to be attending. So that might be non-negotiable. So regardless of what properties are available around, you got to work towards that goal that is going to be that school. And I just say the school because that's a very common reason when people buy a home and they made the decision of where, depending on the schools that they want their kids to attend. So if you have new construction available on and you have existing homes, you got to put that in balance. Many of the builders are helping clients to actually get them in a new home, maybe by getting the appliances or maybe getting a lender credit, but a seller's credit. But the same thing can happen when you buy on an existing home. You can negotiate with the seller, and there's always going to be a negotiation around. So where do you want to buy? New, existing? It will depend on your specific case, but both are going to give you homeownership.
Gotcha. All right, fellas, the stage is open. Say your name, the city and state, and get your question out. Let's go.
Hey, Javier, this is Kalali from Calvert County, Maryland. Once again, appreciate you taking the time. Wealth of information, great information. You spoke a lot about, different products and different things and that the bank offers definitely that help out the community. Can you speak to how being in or how elevating home ownership in a community helps the bank out? And I'm not just talking about profit motive, but are any other like intrinsic values that actually help the bank out being in a community that has a high level of home ownership?
I'll be honest with you. When we think about home ownership, I think the biggest impact is going to be towards the community. When you think about our own neighborhood, where I came from, I came from, from the island Puerto Rico, a very small, low income area. And the biggest impact is going to be towards the community because regardless of the bank, when the vast majority of the people in our neighborhoods are actually owners, there's so many other things happening in that neighborhood. Is the how we take care of our homes, the way that we take care of the lawn, the way that we are proudly owners of this, that, and this is something that was brought up in the most recent Bank of America study that we do, the Buyer's Insights, where the belonging, the feeling that you belong there because you own that piece of property, it's a whole different thing. And everything else is impacted. The way that you go to your grocery shopping and you take care of the people around you, your neighbor, it's like you are there. That's where your kids are going to grow up. And when they grow up, this is where they are going to say, I am from here. This is the neighborhood that I belong from. So I think there is a lot going on in the home ownership piece and that belong feeling that is it's on there is no comparison to it. If you put them both leasing and a home buyer, that's exactly what the home buyer feeling and benefits are there. From the business side, of course, I want to have that local homeowner close to my financial center so that way we can support them in everything that they need. So even though when I'm going to have the website and all the online tools to provide you with everything that you might need, but I'm still going to be there. The day that you have an escalation or the day that you need that shake of a hand and you need to have that face-to-face interaction, you're welcome into our financial centers, and you will be able to see somebody there anytime that you want during business hours, of course.
It's good to see, banking institutions taking an interest in the community, taking interest in certain, especially underserved communities, and being able to offer a wide variety of products to those communities. So John, I definitely appreciate you coming on, sharing that information with us, letting us know.
This is Ray. I'm calling from Rockledge, Florida. How you doing, sir?
I'm good in you.
Great, man. Thanks for coming back on the show again. It's great having you back on the show, as always. I got two questions for you. So the first question is regarding loans. Well, this is in particular for the 501c nonprofits. What are some of the, I guess, conditions for approval that you guys look at when it comes to the grants when it with those nonprofits? And on top of that, is there, because I know earlier you were speaking about, from the business standpoint, you having your tax returns the last 2 years, is it the same criteria or what's different? And what are some of the options, I guess, that you guys offer?
So I think you got a couple things there. So when you're thinking about a nonprofit organization and looking to be the recipient of the grants that we give away supporting the community, that is actually done through local market support. So in Rockledge, we actually have the East Central Florida market lead by our market president, Peter Manino. He actually sits in Rockledge and we also have the executive manager, which is Karen Jacobs. And they both are very involved in the community. And not only by providing funds and grants through many of the nonprofit organizations, but they are actually involved in boards. For example, the Brevard Sioux, Peter Manino sits in that board. And they are so heavily involved. And it's amazing that when I was mentioning the conversations that we are having at the leadership table and all the things that we talk about supporting the communities, Peter Manino and Karen Jacobs are actually leading the way in East Central, in Rockledge. So that market goes from Palm Bay all the way up to Daytona. It's basically that stretch of coastline. I'll be happy to get you in contact with Karen Jacobs so that way she can start giving you more information about who could be new recipients. Every year we are looking for recipients, and we try to get as more participants as possible, not just the same old participant getting the funds every year. So I will be happy to get you in contact with Karen for that.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that, man. Because I know, a lot of people look from the outside sometimes at, banks being, for profit and not really helping the community out versus, credit unions. But you guys are kind of flipping the script when it comes to that. And I appreciate everything you guys are doing for the community.
Yeah, trust me on that. There's a lot going on, and just all the things, the resources that we're putting back in the community is huge, huge.
Yeah, second question was regarding, do you guys offer any type of compound interest accounts? And if you do, is there like is it annual, monthly? Is there a fee? Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. I'm not able to go into the details. My license, which is 291135, is actually a mortgage license. So I'm not empowered to actually talk about the investment accounts and compound interest and everything else. But
Okay.
what I was mentioning about the financial solution advisor inside our financial center, they are empowered to actually give you all of that advisory. So reach out
Oh,
to me
perfect.
in Rockledge. We got a few around, so it will depend on which one is going to be closer to you. But inside the financial center, we can get you that one-on-one.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, John.
My pleasure, man.
So, hey, John Javier, man, lending market leader with Bank of America, came back on Black Men Sundays, man. You enjoying yourself on the show?
I'm having a blast, Corey. This is awesome.
Definitely, man. And before I let you get out of here, man, is there something that I didn't ask you that you think it's important that we need to talk about before I let you go?
No, I will just mention it once again. I think what we have available on the grants, down payment and closing costs, subject to income limits and geographic location of the property is the most important tool that we have today to help people move into home ownership. So I think we got to spread the word around. It is available, still available. We just need to get as much people to get access to this fund. So
Gotcha. Well, great information, man. Well, hey, John Javier, man, thanks for coming back on Black Men Sundays. You know, you Black Men Sunday family now. You're an alum. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I saw your post. I saw I got to get on the boat like him and live that good life. So thanks for coming back on Black Men Sundays, brother. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the rest of your enjoy your work week, man. And we'll talk to you.
Appreciate you, man. Take care. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things.